Are you setting goals but falling short? Does your business seem like it's not going anywhere? Don't give up. It's not your fault. Welcome to Divinely Driven Results with Elise Smith on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Divine business strategies for real results. Host and faith-based coach Elise Smith challenges business owners to partner with the divine in their lives and in their work. Elise helps entrepreneurs find those key missing pieces of God, mindset, and strategy, and how to put them together so you can succeed. Your next big win is closer than ever with Elise coaching you on how to get there, how to prepare yourself to reach your next goal, and how to aim higher than you've dared to dream. Ready to be inspired and take action? Grab your list of goals and let's get down to business. Divinely Driven Results with Elise Smith. Divine business strategies for real results starts now.
Hi, Ladypreneurs. I am Elise Smith, your faith-based business coach, and you're tuned into Divinely Driven Results on Transformation Talk Radio, where you learn and implement divine strategies for real results in your business. So let's talk today about the M word, money. And when I say that word, there's probably some kind of reaction that you have in your gut right now. We either love money or hate money, and there's not a whole lot in between. And really, how you feel and think about money is either attracting it to you or you are actually repelling it from yourself. And this sounds a lot like the law of attraction, which I love the law of attraction, but I also love the law of action. And so we're going to combine those two things together here today. You're going to understand if you are attracting money or repelling it and what you can do about it. So I'm super glad that you are here with us today while we dive into kind of a controversial topic, which is money. So in order for us to get started, I want you to think about, what is your financial goal right now? What is that goal that you have for your business, whether it's revenue, whether it's sales, whether it's how many people you want to help and what that's going to convert to when it comes to money? I want you to make this a money goal. So just think about that number in your head for just a moment. And as you guys know from previous shows, mine is $53,588.33 a month, right? It's so funny. I was telling somebody that my goal and they're like, ooh, you should look into numerology and see what that means for you, right? And I was like, huh, I haven't really thought about that. So think about your financial goal. What is that? And I want you to really ask yourself why it has to be this amount. Because you can throw out any kind of number that you want, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to basically ask God and really get that strong connection of understanding how much money you should be making with your business, whether that's a year, whether that's a month, every 6 months, quarter, whatever that looks like for you. What is your financial goal and why does it have to be that much? Because if you're not sold on how much it has to be, then you're going to kind of go around with the wind, right? And just be blown around and just say, okay, well, I made $2,000 a month this month and that's great, but my real goal is $5,000 and I only did, you know, four. So that's fine. It doesn't have to be $5,000, right? No, we want it to be solid, something that you are really shooting for and you have a real strong reason why. And we talked about whys a few episodes ago. So if you want to check that out, go for it. And I really want you to ask yourself one last question when it comes to your money goals. And that is, why do you deserve this much money? That's a hard one for some of us, right? Why do I deserve to make $53,000 a month? Well, one, I work my tail off. And I bet you do too. And just for that simple fact, I bet you deserve it. But here's the thing is God wants to bless you with even more than you can possibly imagine. And so that might be why you deserve it. Maybe it's because you have a really, really strong why and this purpose that you feel called to be able to help other people in a really large way or really personal way. Maybe that's why you deserve it. But there is a reason why you deserve that much money that you have in your head. And there's a reason why you are actually going for that specific amount. So let's dive into it here because we have money beliefs that, like I said, are either attracting us or repelling us away from money. So just think about this for just a moment. And if you have a piece of paper and pen and you want to go for it, let's do it that way. But even just thinking about, I want you to fill in the blank when I say these things. So money is what to you? Does that mean it's hard to you? Is it difficult? Is it easy? Is it fun? What is that word? Money is what to you? Now, next question is, money is blank for me to obtain. What does that look like for you? Not where you want to be at, where you're currently at now. If you're honest with yourself, is it hard or easy for you to obtain? I blank money. Do you love it? Do you hate it? Are you like so-so about it? What does that look like for you? I believe that debt is blank. This is an interesting one. I think most people would put something in there like bad, right? I believe that debt is bad. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, I believe that debt is good, because it can be if it's done correctly. My family and experiences have taught me that money is blank. Think about that. You may have come from a poor home or a rich home or a middle class. It doesn't really matter. You have experiences that have shaped your thoughts and feelings about money. So what does that really look like? We're kind of peeling back your skull, right? And getting into your brain and really figuring out what your thoughts are around money. And last question. Being rich is blank. How do you look at rich people right now? Are they above you and you could never attain to that? Are they rude? Are they inconsiderate? Are they super nice? Are they amazing? How do you feel about quote unquote rich people? Because that's all subjective, right? All right, so we are going to really talk about these things, right? I hope that was eye-opening for you to really look into how you feel and think about money. Because that's the first step, is we're going to look at your thoughts and the words that you use. Because we use words in our head that nobody knows about, and we use words out loud that people hear. And a lot of times we're using the same words as our friends or close family members. We've all heard that if you're around four negative people, you're probably the fifth. Yeah. So let's take a look at how our friends and family feel about money and how that's affecting us. Because the fact of the matter is that money isn't bad. It just allows you more choices and opportunities. Think about that. The person who is in that struggling home where they're living paycheck to paycheck, or maybe they're eating cereal every day for dinner, right? I've been there. Morning, noon, and night, that's what we ate was cereal. But think about how you feel about money. Is it bad? Is it good? You know, the person who is living paycheck to paycheck, they really don't have that many options because they're so limited in their resources. But the person who is doing really well and is quote unquote rich, now they have opportunities. They have choices. And that's really what we're trying to do. Choices and opportunities mean a chance to be able to serve more people. So that's a good thing, right? Of course it is. Because we can only build up the kingdom of God with how many resources we have. So just kind of keep that in mind. The other thing that really kind of helped me see money in a different light, and that helps my clients see money in a different light, is that money just amplifies who you really are. Lady, I guarantee you that you are probably a really great person inside, right? We all have our bad days. We all, you know, do things we shouldn't do sometimes, but I bet you're a really, really good person. And I used to have this incredible fear of making lots of money and losing myself, right? That I would become this like Ebenezer Scrooge that would hoard all of this money to myself and not want to help other people. Well, let's be honest. I want to help every single person on earth. And so if I have more money, I have the ability to do that even more. If you're a really bad person, then chances are when you get more money, you're going to do really bad things with it. So just give yourself a break. Realize that just because you are concerned about maybe not being humble or about letting it go to your head or about really being better than other people, that just shows that you are a good person, that you're going to watch for those things come up in your life if it ever does, and that you're going to be able to kind of stop all that from happening. So just give yourself that break. This money isn't bad, and it really does amplify who you really are, which can be a great thing. Now, thinking about money and opportunities and that type of thing, I want you to kind of ask yourself, how have I been talking about money lately, whether that's to myself or to other people? Do you ever say, we can't afford it, or I hate money, or man, I wish there was more money at the end of the month instead of month at the end of the money, right? I never have enough. And even I can't. If we talk like that, then it shuts us down to be able to really understand and grasp those opportunities that are there for us. My husband and I, when we got married, we were super poor. Like our wedding was under $500, dress and everything included. And so what happened was we realized how we started to talk about money. And that was, oh, we can't afford it. And what happens when you say something like that is we can't afford it or I can't afford it. It shuts you down. It's the end of the road. But if you say something like, how can we afford it? That opens you up to be able to look for opportunities and ways to be able to make that thing happen. So I will give you a for instance. Let's say you are at a seminar and they're talking about their 3-day seminar at the 1-day seminar that you're at right now. And you're sitting in your chair and you are getting so excited because you're going to learn all these amazing things that you've always wanted to learn. And you know that the value is there and you know you're going to make your money back very easily and you are just stoked to go. And you're thinking in your mind, okay, I really hope it's not over $500 because I don't have that. And they put on the board $5,000. What is your immediate reaction to that? You really want to go to this seminar. You love what they're going to teach. But when you see $5,000, what do you think automatically? I can't afford it, right? Or I would never have that much money, or that's way too expensive. You know, and we have these automatic reflexes that we go into when we see something like that. And so we really have to be careful about our reflexes and watch them. So be careful about the way you think and the way you say things when it comes to money. So that's the first piece, is what are your thoughts and your words that you're using around money? Because that has everything to do with how you are gaining that. Now, second piece is what are your feelings around money? Now, if you're having these thoughts of we can't afford it and I'll never have enough and I can't, as opposed to I choose not to, right? If you're having these thoughts, then of course you're not going to have the greatest feelings about money, because it just automatically feeds into that. So I want you to think about, and we're going to take a break here in just a second, but while we're on this break, I want you to think about, what are the 3 feelings that you experience when you ask for a sale from someone? You're in that presentation, whether it's a party, whether it's an online thing, whether it's in person or Zoom, whatever that looks like for you, and you are about to ask for the sale. What are the 3 feelings that come up when you are about to ask for that sale? So we're gonna take a break here for just a couple moments. And what we're gonna do is we are gonna come back to this money topic. And we're gonna continue to dive into how you are feeling and thinking and acting upon what you're feeling and thinking right now, so that we can then change that to empower you to really embrace money and to accept it in such a divine way that you know you are meant to receive it, because God wants to give it all to you. So we just discussed how you feel or how you think and what you, kind of words you're using to describe money, whether that's in your head all by yourself or whether that's talking to other people about it. And really watch other people around you. How are they talking about money and how does that affect you, right? So that's really the first step, is we always have to be aware. So we are kind of peeling back those layers and looking at what's really going on underneath the surface. Before the break, I asked you to come up with three feelings that you experience while asking for the sale. And I'm sure you came up with some words like fear or doubt or weakness, whatever that might look like for you. Maybe you're on the other side and you say strength and confidence, and that's great. But let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we do have that fear and doubt that holds us back. Now, if you are trying to come off as confident as you possibly can, but in your mind you're thinking, oh man, I am charging way too much and they're never gonna say yes. How do you think that comes off to your prospect? How do you think that that kind of gets out in the universe and then that comes back to you? What kind of results are you getting from that, right? So it's more than just faking it till you make it. It's actually changing the core of your thoughts and your feelings. So if you are having a hard time loving money or even liking money, how are you ever supposed to attract it? How do you attract something that you don't even like or don't even love? And sometimes we get nervous about the idea of loving money, right? You know, we have to go back to that idea that money only amplifies who we are. So we can love money from a very humble place, from a place of gratitude and of service, as opposed to loving it for greed and for our own selfishness. So really kind of watch that. Now, how are you building up the kingdom of God with your money? You know, once you can start doing that, and I'm sure a lot of you guys, if not all of you guys, are already doing that in some way, but think about it. How are you being a wise steward over the money that you currently have? Because as you show God that He can trust you with more and more money, you will receive more and more money as you work for it, right? I love this concept here. It says in Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase, of all thine increase. So what I know I personally try to do is I try to pay a tithing on my money. And my church very much believes in this concept, and so do I. It's 10% right off the top. And so that way, it always keeps me really humble about it. It helps me remember where that money is really coming from, which is God. I wouldn't be able to make a cent if it wasn't for God, and neither would you. And so we need to remember where that money is coming from and the fact that we did work for it, and it is a blessing from God. It's not just a handout that we are receiving. It's something that we actually worked for. Therefore, we deserve it, right? But what we do is it says, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So pay God first, whether that's to a local charity, whether that's to a family down the street, whatever that looks like for you. I want you to find ways to look at that money as this way of blessing other people's lives. Because when you start having that feeling about money, of loving it so that you can bless others with it, then it doesn't become so scarce. You start to see it more abundantly, because God wants you to have it, because He knows you're going to do good things with it, right? And especially if we give our first fruits first, then He's bound to bless us even more. It's kind of like when you go to the beach and you grab a thing of sand, right? And if you just kind of cup your hand like this, then you can keep that sand in your hand. And it's really in this kind of loose position that you can keep the sand in your hand. But if you squeeze it really, really tight and you try to hold on to it, what happens to the sand? It all starts flowing out between your fingers. And you're left with either nothing at all or very, very little compared to if you hold it loosely. And that's how I want you to think about money, is that if we hold on to it and we hoard it and we say, oh my gosh, I don't have enough money for anything that I want or that I really feel good about doing, then we're going to start to lose it because we are literally pushing it away when it comes to the fact that we should be attracting it to ourselves. When you're open with your money comes to you a lot easier. So really kind of think about that. And I was thinking about Mark 12, about the widow's mite, where this woman, she had very, very little money. And this was the tithes and offerings that was going around. And they were a lot of people were putting in money into this bowl, and she put in her mite, which was just very, very little, probably less than a penny, I think, nowadays. But she gave what she could at that time. And so, you know, there might be a next door neighbor that's giving, you know, $5,000 a month away to a charity, and you can only give $10 a month away to, you know, a local animal shelter. It doesn't matter. Your business and your life is in a different spot than everybody else's. So you take it to the Lord. You say, I really appreciate all the increase that thou hast given me. So tell me how much I should give to thee to be able to help build up the kingdom of God so that we can do so, so that we can build up the kingdom of God together. And then you'll know how much is right for you to donate and what that even looks like. May not even look like money. Maybe it looks like your time at the shelter, whatever that looks like for you. Make sure that you are doing something with your money and your time and your resources where you're giving it away so that you are remembering where it really comes from and you're able to change those feelings that you might have about money right now. My friend, I don't even know where she heard this from, but I love this concept of money is like breathing. It should easily flow in and out. You would never just sit here on the couch and just be like, and then you don't breathe, right? But that's how we are with our money sometimes. We inhale it and take it in, and we expect for us to be able to live like that and to stay like that, but you have to let it out. And especially with business, there are times when you should spend your money and invest your money on different things. And there are times when you should hold it. And just knowing that is really a huge business principle. And also I would think a biblical success principle as well. I can't think of any specific stories that this has to do with, but really just kind of think about that concept the next time you read the scriptures, is that there is this concept of kind of ebb and flow. And so think about that with money. It's okay to let it go. It's okay to pay the bills. It's okay to invest in yourself as long as you are having that constant ebb and flow, that in and out when it comes to your money. It is naturally going to flow in and out. So let it. And then how are you showing gratitude for the things that you do have right now? That all of that is really going to help you change your feelings about money. So we know thoughts lead to feelings, feelings lead to actions or inactions. So if you're following along here, you've got your thoughts on your money and then the feelings that come from that, which might be fear or doubt or scarcity. And then what kind of actions or inactions are you taking because of those thoughts and feelings right now? So maybe that looks like that you are barely paying your bills on time because you are choosing to do that first, as opposed to maybe putting the Lord first as far as paying Him. Right? We've all been there before and it's okay. It's not accusatory in any way. It's just kind of maybe that's what your situation is. Or maybe you are choosing to not invest in yourself or your business at this time because you have that scarcity mindset. So kind of look at your actions and your inactions and say, you know, are they coming from a place of fear or faith? Are they coming from a place of abundance or scarcity? And what kind of results are you getting because of that? So I love the concept that people do sometimes at different seminars. And it kicks, like I kick myself every single time it happens. Because what happens is that the speaker goes into the audience, right? And they take out maybe a $10 bill or 20 or 50, right? And so they're just walking around holding the $10 bill in their hand. And they're just talking about it. And then finally someone gets up the courage to just go up there and snatch up that $10 bill. And you're thinking, why didn't I do that? The whole time the $10 bill was right there in front of me. How come I didn't run up and go get the $10 bill, right? I love that object lesson because it helps us to see, are we really like going for those opportunities that are in front of us when they're there? Or are we sitting there in our chairs at the seminar saying, I could go get the $10 bill right now, but what would people think of me? Or you know, it just takes so much effort and work to get out of the chair and go over there and get it from them. Or maybe I'm going to do something wrong if I actually snatch up that $10 bill, right? So just think about that. If you are in a seminar like that, we'll take you back to the seminar stage, right? If you were in that seminar, how quickly would you get up and get that $10 bill? Or would you ever get it? Would you watch other people get it and be kicking yourself like I was that you didn't get up and get that $10 bill? So that's what I mean by the actions and inactions that we're taking. And then we also have those results that come because of how we're thinking, how we're feeling, and the actions and inactions that we take. And that result might be that maybe we're living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe we're doing really good in our business, but have hit a plateau and can't seem to get past that. Think about the thoughts and the feelings that you have when you're at that plateau. Think about the actions or inactions that you're taking when you're at that plateau. So, how do you want to feel about money? We get to co-create with God, and not just the physical things or the emotional things, but we get to create and co-create with God whatever we want. So if we want to feel excited about money, if we want to feel like it easily flows to us, then what are we going to do about it? And the first thing that we want to do is we want to change our thoughts. The words that we use either inside our head or even to other people. Watch what you are saying to yourself and to others when it comes to money. Just making those tiny switches of I can't afford this to how can I afford it. In fact, if you usually put a how in front of a question, like in front of a statement like that, that's when you can really open yourself up. If you say I can't, say how can I? Right? Just those tiny little tweaks that you can make in your verbiage, either inside your mind or your heart or with other people, is really going to help you to start feeling that way. And then your thoughts are going to support you to feel that abundance that you have there. And then what actions would you naturally take if you felt empowered, if you felt like money is an easy thing to get? Would you take more risks in your business? And I'm not saying like, you know, lottery kind of risks, right? I'm saying calculated risks that a lot of times we don't trust ourselves to make. We need to take risks in our business. Another way to do that here is taking action is to actually pay your tithing or your services, whatever that looks like for you, your charity money, however that is, pay that for the entire year of what you feel like you're going to make that year. So right now we are in December, which is a perfect time to do this. So you look at the year 2020 and you say, I am going to make X amount of money. And that means that I'm going to pay tithing or donate to charity this much, which is 10% or whatever it is that you decide to do. And pay that before you even make the money. And that is going to help you to have that faith that you know you're going to do it. And it's going to help God to see where your heart is and where your intentions are. Because ladies, it is not about the money. It is about the impact that you can make with that money. Just think about that. So start thinking about money in a different way. And in fact, I would challenge you to not be afraid of money. by taking this challenge here. What you do is you go into a store and you just ask somebody for a dollar bill. You don't give a reason. You just ask. You go up to as many people as you can and you say, I would like a dollar. Do you have a dollar you could give me? And what that does is it helps you to get over the fear of asking for money and to start looking at it in a different light. So there's a lot of different things we talked about here that can help you to make that money mindset shift, but also take action on that mindset shift. And I know that when you do, you will be incredibly blessed. So thank you so much for joining us here today. And if you want more great tips like this and a great community to help support you, check out Faithful Ladypreneurs on Facebook. It is a free group that you are more than welcome to join and get supported in so many different ways, such as money mindset. So we will see you next week.